Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on a Friday afternoon. Real quick, before we get too deep into things right now, some show notes. If you're looking for some pro wrestling, tonight WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, as usual. RSW in Ledyard, Connecticut. SWF in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Rockstar Pro tonight in Dayton, Ohio.
See you
tomorrow night. HPW and Emerge Wrestling, both at Columbus, Indiana. ICW in Marion, Indiana. MAPW in Valley Springs, South Dakota. Gouge Pro Wrestling happening in Fuquay Arena, North Carolina. And PSWA in Carrollton, Georgia. Oh. Right now, though, we want to get things started, and today's topic, something very close to me. We are doing tributes all month long, and the first one is to the late, great Dale Pierce. Some people might know him as the Time Traveler. Some people knew him as the Dean of Mean. I knew him as one of my favorite people in the wrestling business. We traveled many, many miles together. Dale Pierce not only managed in professional wrestling, it looks like he was one of the more well-known and respected authors on the subject of professional wrestling. He actually did a little bit of in-ring wrestling, including a match for the WWF against Playboy Buddy Rose. He was a mentor to many, many people. He had a hand in getting a lot of people started in their wrestling careers. As you read Justin Roberts' autobiography, he credits Dale Pierce in helping him get started in Arizona, which put him on the path to eventually ring announcing for the WWF for many years. Dale Pierce, actually one of the more respected and well-liked performers I've ever come across. So today we're going to pay tribute to him. And QT, it looks like we've been joined by Casey Carlisle. Casey, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you. I hope that you can hear me okay. I'm having some connection issues.
We hear you loud and clear.
Good. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, especially this one.
We definitely appreciate having you on. I know you didn't know Dale for a really long time. Didn't come across him a great number of times, but I know Dale was a very, very big fan of yours. He absolutely loved watching you wrestle, loved spending the time he got to spend with you. Can you tell us a little bit about your memories of Dale and a little bit of what maybe you learned from Dale?
The biggest memory, as you said, I didn't have the pleasure of having the amount of time that you did overall with him. But, when I did, when we were doing those drives out there, the thing that stuck out to me about him the most was the fact that he absolutely would not pull punches when he was speaking. Even if you might have wanted him to, he was so honest and so you know, just blatantly upfront about his feelings, and he owned them, whether he was saying something good about somebody or a situation or whether it wasn't the nicest thing in the world. You know, it was his opinion, and he was in such ownership of his opinion and wasn't afraid to share it, no matter what it was or what the topic was or who the topic was. And, you know, regardless of what people may or may not say, you don't find that very often, especially these days where people want to be, you know, so over the top complimentary of everybody. And it really stuck out, and it was honestly a breath of fresh air because it's not something that everyone's willing to do. You know, it's not a trait everybody possesses in the business right now, but he did. And that was one of my favorite things about being around him, was just to, you know, what is Dale going to say next? And it never, ever disappointed.
That's very, very true. I rode thousands upon thousands of miles with Dale over the years, and he was very honest. And my experiences, he not only absolutely loved professional wrestling, he absolutely hated professional wrestling all at the same time. A lot of times he was just so passionate, and he would say what he felt regardless of anything. But even if he was not happy with the way a show went or how a talent was doing, he wanted it to be better. He just wanted it to be as good as it could be, and he had strong opinions on how to make it good. So even if it seemed like he absolutely loathed something, he really didn't. He just wanted the potential to be reached, I think. Like I said, he absolutely loved watching you. He would rave about you when you weren't around here, and he would always ask me when you were wrestling next, who you were working with. He wanted to keep up with your career. When you have a guy like Dale that doesn't necessarily watch a ton of things, especially the last few years, but he wants to make the time to watch yours, what's that mean to someone like yourself that has been around and has seen a lot of veterans, but someone like Dale's taken the time to have that vested interest?
Oh, it's I don't even know which adjective to use first. It's humbling, and it's flattering, and it's you know, leaves me a little awestruck. You know, just because there's, and I say this anytime it's mentioned that somebody is a fan of mine or a fan of my work. You know, there's so many. Look how many people there are in the business right now. Look how many people there are to choose from. So when you end up getting to somebody in that way, you know, to the point where they're invested in you and they're invested in what you're doing and they want to see more of it, it's always a great thing. When it's Dale, who, as you said, his knowledge and his passion for the business, you know, was second to none. And so, and he had been around, you know, you gave the rundown on his place in the business and his history. You know, he wasn't somebody who had been confined to a 40-mile bubble or confined to seeing one or two promotions or anything. He had a broad knowledge of the business, and he had seen a lot of it. So, you know, to be kind of, for lack of a better word, I don't mean it as cocky as it might sound, but to be on a pedestal of his in that sense is just, you know, it makes me able to stand up a little straighter and feel even more proud of, you know, my work and what I've done, because I know how much of a compliment that is in the grand scheme of things and the big picture of the business.
Now, Dale, of course, like I said, he wrote many books on the subject of professional wrestling, and I don't know how many he had going that he wasn't able to quite finish, but I know that he at one point was going to definitely include you in one of the books. He talked to me a little bit about it. I know he mentioned to you that he was wanting to do so.
Mm-hmm.
When someone not only is a fan of your work, and they're not only able to sit down and talk to you about what they like, but they're writing it in a book that they want people to purchase and read. What's that like when someone approaches you with something like that? That's kind of a whole different level, and Dale didn't write just about everyone he ever came across. You definitely were getting a seal of approval if Dale was going to include you in one of his books.
Yeah, it, you know, it kind of amplifies everything that I described a minute ago. It kind of just doubles all of that because, you know, as amazing of a feeling and as, you know, humbling and just as it is for somebody to enjoy your work and want to keep up with you and keep up with you and watch your matches, you know, take the time out of their life. You know, time is something that you can never get back. So when people use their time to attend the events you're on or to, you know, whatever, interact with you on social media or put you over anything, it means something. But when it comes to writing a book, the chunk of time out of that person's life is multiplied immensely. You know, this is a huge chunk, and it's a personal project of theirs that is now going to contribute to that person's legacy, and not just in the wrestling business, but their life, you know, as far as his loved ones and then his friends. You know, he left behind gifts in the form, in many forms, but the books are one of them. So for him to want to include me, and he did mention it, I forget which trip we were on, but, you know, he and I were knee to knee and shoulder to shoulder in the backseat of the car for many hours together. And he mentioned it to me, and I was so flattered because I'm now being included in that legacy of Dale. You know, that goes above and beyond. He watched my matches or he was a fan or asked about me. That's wonderful and it's amazing. But the book is something permanent, something, you know, physical that you can hold in your hand that he created. And that was his brainchild. So to be part of that is just another whole spectrum of the humility, you know, the humble feeling and the fact that I was awestruck that he took such a liking to my work or to me or both. And, you know, that's something that makes the books even more special to me than they already would be simply being about professional wrestling by a man in professional wrestling. You know, it's an awesome feeling. It really is.
One of the things that we both had in common with Dale that he seemed to really enjoy as well was the love of coffee. He definitely loved coffee, as do you, as do I, as does QT. What was it like when we discovered all of us have that love for coffee? Because I know Dale was hugely excited to learn that there's another coffee drinker on the tour with us.
You know, anytime you can have something like that in common where it doesn't, you know, most people have a cup of coffee, maybe, you know, some people might say, oh my gosh, I need a second cup. It's that kind of day. You know, that's kind of common. Okay, that's cool. But Dale is the only person I've ever met who is like me in the sense that he could and wanted to drink it all day long. And for me, it has nothing to do with the caffeine or anything like that. It's not that. It's just I freaking love coffee, whether it's iced or hot, you know, whatever. I love coffee. So it was cool. You know, it's one of those cool little, like, hey, fist bump, you know, here we are. It's like this little gimmick that we share, and it's fun, you know. And then, like, when we were driving to that show, and, you know, that little coffee hut that was just on the side of the road in the middle of the mountains that we stopped at. You'll remember better where it was than I would, but you remember what I'm talking about, where we went through the little drive through it, this little coffee hut that was not bigger than a trailer you see, you know, behind a truck pulling a ring, you know, that has a ring in it or something. It was cool.
Absolutely. That was out in the sticks over on the Kitsap Peninsula, as I recall it.
Yes, it was on the way up to the reservation, the event that was at the reservation there, I believe.
Yeah, the Paul's Bow Show.
Yes, that's it. I couldn't remember the name, but yeah. So, you know, it was cool. Like, and Dale had such an energy anyway, whether it was about coffee or wrestling or, you know, the people who he saw on the side of the, you know, just standing on the street when we were stopped at a stoplight or something. I mean, he just had this energy where he could take anything and make it a topic and make it entertaining and have his opinion on it that in itself was entertaining. You know, that was Dale, and it was awesome.
For the people listening that didn't get a chance to know Dale, in addition to being a writer, in addition to being in the wrestling business, being a lover of coffee, he also spent many, many years as a teacher. He was actually a legitimate teacher. He later used it as his managing gimmick when he managed Alpha Sigma Sigma, but he was an actual educator. And he was also very much into bullfighting. He has written books on bullfighting in addition to the wrestling ones. Dale was a pretty complex individual with a lot of varied interest and a lot of knowledge in a wide amount of fields. He could talk about pretty much any subject you would want and do it intelligently with some basic knowledge on it. Obviously, in the wrestling business, that's going to help you out because you can pretty much know what you're talking about with anyone you're paired with. It's going to help you with your interviews, with commentary, all of that. Now, when you were writing with Dale and talking with him, did you get the sense that he was a little bit different than your standard wrestling manager as far as that goes, someone that had that knowledge and was able to take it and put it into what he was doing in the wrestling business?
Yeah, I absolutely. I got a sense of that, not just from riding with him, but then, you know, he managed, I think it was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was the second show for PIMP up there that I worked, that Dale managed, and I got to see a little bit of it. Yeah, it was absolutely, you know, talking to him alone, I could tell, but then to see him, he was the classic, I don't mean to sound cliche, but he was the classic old school manager, you know, where he was there enhancing the guys that he was working with. He wasn't taking away from them. He wasn't making it about himself. He wasn't doing things that were detrimental to the match. Everything had a reason, and everything was an intelligent action or an intelligent, you know, thing to say. There was thought and meaning behind it. It wasn't just shooting blanks and you know, hoping something stuck. And I think that there's not really a way to be able to do that so seamlessly without having the knowledge base to begin with. You know, you have to have something to apply. Managing is just as much art as wrestling is, and you can't just go out there and BS your way through it and be able to have a sustainable, you know, really quality career in that sense. So I think it absolutely came through. You know, Dale's knowledge of the business and his knowledge of the world in general and his ability to connect with people and to convey thoughts and so forth, I think that absolutely came out.
Definitely agree with you there. Now, Dale also used his mind as a booker, which is one of the more thankless jobs in the wrestling industry to hold. He booked in Arizona when he was in the Phoenix area for a few different companies. I believe he also booked a little bit when he moved to Ohio. He hadn't booked in Washington or Oregon that I know of, but he, like we have said, was willing to give his opinion on things and help the guys out with that aspect. A lot of people may not appreciate just how involved Dale was in the wrestling business. He was someone that did everything there was in the wrestling business, from booking to managing. Like I said, he did a little bit of in-ring wrestling. He did commentary. For the people outside looking in, they may not appreciate how hard it is to be able to do everything in the wrestling business well, but I appreciate how hard it is, and Casey, I'm sure you can appreciate just how hard a job that is, and Dale did it seamlessly, and just his overall demeanor, you wouldn't know that he'd had experience in every single aspect of the business, would you?
No, not if you hadn't ever met him or spoken to him. If you were judging a book by its cover, it would be a very classic situation where that is, you know, the judgment or the decision that you would come to would end up maybe having some threads of accuracy to it, but it would in no way be opening the book and seeing the entire story as a whole.
Now, I'd been in the business for quite a while when I met Dale, as you had been when you first met Dale. But a lot of people owe their careers to Dale in a big way. Some people we both know that maybe didn't get their very first start with Dale, but they got a definite big break in their career would include Ron Von Hess, who was started by Dale. Dale got him into the business. Chief Attacula-Kula very early on was helped out by Dale in getting bookings. Bad Blood got a big break from Dale Pierce. Justin Roberts, like I said, credited him in his autobiography. And even Dale's wife, who managed briefly, got into the business because of Dale. She actually wrote to Dale, and he responded, and that's how she got into the business. Now, it's a pretty cutthroat industry a lot of times, especially in the territorial days when Dale broke into the wrestling business. When we've got a guy like Dale that was so helpful in helping young guys out and genuinely wanted to see everybody succeed, and he generally cared about pretty much everyone that was trying to get into the business and help them, what kind of loss do you think that is for wrestling to have someone that was so willing to help anybody that wanted the help? And I don't know if we're going to see that again.
I think it's, I think that the loss of Dale is a huge loss in many ways, but that's definitely one of the top, you know. I don't think that quality is something that is necessarily extinct, but it certainly is not prevalent. You know, it's very easy, and it's a slippery slope to be very selfish in this business because it can be so cutthroat. And, you know, because you have to look out for yourself so much and to such an extent, you know, and take care of yourself that it's really easy to kind of zoom the camera in on yourself and then forget, you know, forget things like that, situations like that, where you might be able to help somebody or provide some assistance. When it comes to Dale, I think that a big part of him possessing that quality is the fact that he did come up in the business when he did, because it was a different time, you know, and there was a lot more, I think, mentoring, taking people under your wing, you know, that type of situation. But I also think that a lot of it has to do with Dale's, you know, not to repeat what we've said, but I think a lot of it had to do with Dale's love of and for professional wrestling as a whole. You know, it wasn't even, here, I'm going to take you guys and help you be the best you can be. I mean, that was certainly a big part of it, of course, but I think he also just wanted to help the business. And, you know, when you have people who want to learn and want to get better and they want the help, you know, because they want to be in this business and they want to do well in the business, I think that they'll recognize that and said, you know what, here are some guys that want to be here. They want to go through paying their dues. They want to go through the crappy parts of what it takes to be a wrestler. And that is what the business needs. It needs people who want to be here, who are invested in the business, not who look at it as a quick paycheck or a quick, you know, shortcut to fame or a time to, you know, be in front of a crowd because their acting career didn't work out or something. So I think that it's a multiple-tiered quality that Dale possessed, and I don't know if all of the tiers of that quality necessarily will continue on, but I think that his passion and his willingness to do that so often for so many people without, from what I know, which is not as much as you, but without really thinking twice about it, you know, I think that part of it is a big loss.
Now, when Dale was sick, a lot of fans had no idea he was sick. A lot of the people in the business actually didn't realize he was sick. He went out there every time and would perform, even if he was not feeling well, if he was in a lot of pain. He would go out there for the few minutes that he had to manage, and he would put on a show like nothing was wrong. He just had that ability to go out there even in the worst of times, and he would go out there, and people could not tell, generally speaking, unless you were aware of it or if you knew Dale very well. A lot of people in the business, if they were as sick as Dale was, wouldn't travel to shows. They wouldn't go out in front of the crowd. They didn't want to necessarily look like they've lost a few steps, but with Dale, you couldn't tell. Now, Dale, when you worked with them at EWF, and Randy Taylor's promotion, not the healthiest. He was in a bit of a remission, so he was feeling better at that point, but still not 100%. When you see guys like Dale go out there, and Dale Pierce put on a great performance, even though he's not sick, how inspiring is that as a performer, knowing that he was not feeling well, he was in a decent amount of pain, but he still wanted to go out there, still wanted to help young performers, still wanted to put on the best show that he could, and he still wanted to travel and spend time with his peers.
So I think it's, you know, it's incredibly inspiring. It's, I think, you know, having I think reality is that we are all at times not 100%, whether it be physically or mentally, emotionally, you know, and that's why so many people refer to to wrestling as an escape. You know, both fans and the people in the business. So many people, it's an escape. It's therapeutic. It's their comfort zone. But Dale, the level, and as you said, I met Dale, and I knew from you telling me ahead of time he had been sick. So I didn't have the comparison of Dale of old versus Dale in later years. I didn't have that. But what I could tell was that, you know, I think the business was an escape for him. I think it was his love, his comfort zone. You know, I think it was where he felt at home. But knowing how sick he had been and how sick he still was the couple of times I was around him, it's absolutely awe-inspiring. You know, it's not just I'm going to get out of the house for a bit, or my wife is driving me crazy, I'm going to go beat the boys and everything will be cool. You know, it was more than that. It was Dale providing himself a sense of normalcy. And I think it also had a lot to do with Dale felt as though he owed it to the business to continue to want to travel. And, you know, kind of like as long as he could, he was going to, because he felt inundated to that sense, to that extent. And anything, you know, when you find somebody who has that inner strength and willpower and that desire to still want to be there and want to absolutely not use excuses or provide buts or anything, I think it's absolutely awe-inspiring, and it should be to really anybody who is ever in that position or knows somebody in that position.
I know there were a couple of times when Dale just wasn't strong enough to travel, so he would call me and say he wasn't up to traveling to a show unless Casey Carlisle was going to be there, and then he would make the effort to go. So definitely that was 100% Dale.
See, I'm flattered and humbled all over again. Because you did say each time, you know, there were, I think you said each time, I don't know if Dale's feeling up to going. It was always kind of a question of whether or not he was going to feel up to it. And he did. And I know, especially on the way back after the shows, you know, sometimes he wore down and his energy kind of went into the gutter. And, you know, so I witnessed that part of it. But the spark was never not there. He always had that spark and that fire of wanting to be there. And, you know, like there was no other choice.
For sure. Well, QT, you're with us. Do you have any memories or stories you wanted to share about Dale?
Well, sure, Sonda. And Casey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, QT.
I still have your pillow picture. Yes, very good.
Well, I'd be offended if you didn't. How dare you?
Oh, yes, yes. Sign, I didn't quite have the chance or opportunity to interact with Dale as much as you did. A slight reason of that is, you know, how people keep you in the ring. But anyway, of course, the coffee trip that we took to Kitsap stuck out in my mind. That was my one road trip with Dale Pierce. And I always, you know, I always remember stopping to get the coffee. That was very good, you know. But that was fun. It was a good day. But as you know, Sign, I myself travel up and down I-5 to do the interviews sometimes, and I have to pull off by the side of the road. The interview that sticks out the most when I was on the road was when we first interviewed Dale Pierce, and I had to stop in at my hometown of Longview, Washington, and I interviewed and asked Dale some questions from the Triangle Bowling Alley, where my dad and I bowled many of games. So just the fact that I was pulled over in my hometown, and I was at that bowling alley that had so many memories from my childhood stuck out. And I can tell you where in the bowling alley I was standing when we were talking with Dale. And before I forget, I wonder if what number in our interview that was. As you know, our interviews are numbered. We got to send that interview with Dale Pierce to Casey if we can.
Absolutely, I know where the link is. But it looks like we are joined by someone else, so let's bring them on real fast. Do we have the caller from the 347 area code?
Yes, hi, this is Evan Ginsberg in New York. How are you?
Doing very well, and thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it. We're paying tribute, of course, to the late, great Dale Pierce, and I know that you had a connection to Dale, and he was very helpful to you in what you do in the wrestling business. Could you tell us a little bit about what your memories are of Dale and how he was able to help you?
Yes. For many years, I published one of the early newsletters called Wrestling Then and Now for about 20 years, and Dale was one of my best contributors, and Dale was a true Renaissance man. He was a teacher. He was a historian. He was an author. He was a wrestling manager. He was a wrestler. He also had an encyclopedic knowledge on the most obscure subjects, Western gunslingers, spaghetti Western movies, bullfighting, the most obscure wrestling territories. This guy knew stuff that nobody knew, and he was always good to me. It was never about money. It was always about the art, and I love the guy, and, you know, I can't believe he's gone. I just can't believe he's gone.
I definitely appreciate that. It's hard for me a lot of times to not be able to pick up the phone and call Dale. I catch myself wanting to all the time. Now, like you said, Dale was a historian, and being, like we talked earlier, an actual educator. He was a teacher for many years.
Oh, yeah. Dale wrote many books, and just an intelligent, eclectic, well-rounded guy, and he wasn't one of these wrestling guys who would weigh out like he only knows about wrestling. Guy, you know, the guy could talk about anything and everything, and I hate to be repetitive because it's not great radio, but I just can't wrap my head around the fact that he's not here anymore. And you know, the guy always did good by me. It was never mercenary. It was never about money. And you know, I knew his lovely wife as well. You know, and what can I say? I think it's beautiful that you guys are doing this. And, you know, he wasn't the most well-known guy in the business, but the fact that you're honoring him for an hour, I think it's great. I think it's beautiful, you know?
Now, obviously, Dale helped you out with, like, historian type of work and things like that.
He wrote tons of articles, the most obscure territories, you know.
Were you able to also read some of the books he did? He did books on a lot of the territories that just don't get much attention, and he really helped put a spotlight on those territories, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, Arizona, Ohio. I don't think there's 10 guys alive that knew what he knew about those territories.
You might be actually right. There's not many.
Anyway, we got a lot of background noise here. I don't want to destroy your show. So I just wanted to, you know, say my piece about Dale. He's a beautiful person, and what can I say? You know, it's a great loss. A great loss to the wrestling community, to the educational community. Yeah.
Definitely was. Well, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us. Definitely we appreciate it. And I know Tale was always happy to help out with the articles. He used to talk about them quite a bit when we would do the road trips together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And thank you for doing this again. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a great
Evan,
evening. Oh, okay.
Everybody.
Bye.
All right. Well, QT, did you have any other stories you wanted to share about Dale?
Well, yes. When I first met Dale, I think he had seen me in several wrestling venues, you know, and he knew that I was doing radio with you. But I believe the first time I ever got to talk with him in the ring and meet him properly was to go to that wrestling event when we got into the car. And, of course, when everyone meets people, you know, we get these snap judgments and stuff and don't get to really know the person until we start talking. But Dale did ask the question, well, what do you do, you know? But and I think it, bearing in mind he knew that I was pretty involved in interviews in the Northwest, and so I said, well, you know, I've been working with Sign Guy for so many years, you know, and I didn't know if you had briefed me to him in depth, but, you know, and I said, and then I said, well, I'm currently working at this one job, you know, in retail. And before that, I had spent 20 years in the Coast Guard. And I you know, was looking at him, and I could have sworn I saw him perk up a little bit, you know. And he seemed to be – I would like to think that he was fairly impressed with my 20 years of service. And it was right after that he said, well, that sounds pretty good, or something to that effect. And he goes, maybe we should get a cup of coffee sometime. And I kind of felt right then and there that I had passed a litmus test with him. Yes.
I'm sure you did, for sure.
Yeah. And then it was then, I believe, that we got into the car and drove that long distance. Yes. But come to think of it, I think that was the last time. Yes, it was that I had spoke with him. You know, my schedule continues to be slightly erratic with work. You know, and but that was the one conversation that I had with Dale besides our interview that stuck out in my mind as far as road trip interview where I had to pull off. So, yes. But I was pretty fascinated, and I knew that he was an author, which is you got to be pretty sharp up there to sell your books in any type of capacity. So that was very impressive. I would have liked to ask him more, you know, about his authors and his books, his authorships, and where he picked up the ability to write.
I'm not sure where he picked up the ability to write, but he put out a lot of books, and he definitely had a very strong ability to write. He was a very good author, and he covered a subject matter that a lot of times would be lost to history. For example, he wrote about the Madison Square Garden that was in Phoenix, Arizona, that not a lot of fans outside of Phoenix, Arizona even remember today. So if not for people like Dale, that would be lost to history more than likely.
Well, I would also like to ask him if he do you know when Hemingway passed away? Ernest Hemingway.
Not off the top of my head, but somewhere in the 50s, I believe.
Okay. Well, you know, I was pretty amazed to learn that Dale was a bullfight aficionado. And I, if he were still alive today, I'd like to bring that subject up and ask if he had attended a bullfight or if he got to have a chance to meet Ernest Hemingway. He probably would have been pretty young then, though, Dale.
For sure. I know Dale did attend a lot of bullfights. I don't think he met Hemingway, but for sure he was an aficionado and somewhat of an expert on bullfighting, among other things.
Well, you know, I think Hemingway mentioned bullfighting in his book, For Whom the Bell Tolls. And I was, if Dale was alive today, I was going to ask him if he had read that book, For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Wouldn't shock me if he did. He was well read. It looks like we have one more caller on the line. Let's bring him on right away. We have a caller from the 330 area code.
Hello, this is Denise Pierce, Dale's wife.
Oh, well, Denise, thank you for joining us today. I definitely appreciate it.
Thank you for doing this tribute to Dale. I am so touched by what Casey and Evan and you and QC have said about Dale. Words cannot describe how I feel about him. He was just a remarkable individual and truly one of a kind. And I knew that the first moment I talked to him on the telephone, back in the days of the old landlines, he asked me the nationality of my maiden name, which is DeLeggy. And I told him German, and he is the first person to have ever pronounced it right on the first try. And if that wasn't fate right there, I don't know what was.
We talked a little bit earlier about how Dale initially got you into the wrestling business when you wanted to get into managing, and that sparked the lifelong love he had for you. But when you first met Dale Pierce in person, what was the first reaction you had to Dale?
I was intrigued. I was exhausted and nauseous. I had just spent 48 hours on a Greyhound bus traveling from my home state in Wisconsin to Seattle. But I was intrigued. Unbeknownst to me, when I first wrote to him inquiring about training, I did not realize that he was also Mad Dog Marcial Beauvais / the Time Traveler, and I had been reading about him in the wrestling magazines for years. Didn't know that Dale was that the same Dale Time Traveler Marcial were the same people, was the same person. Until we got to corresponding in the several months leading up to me actually making the trip to Washington. And I was just thinking, wow, this guy is insane. I mean, the things he did as Marcial and the Time Traveler were unheard of. They were duplicated by the Global Wrestling Federation in the early 90s, which was out of Dallas. And he fascinated me. I mean, I thought, okay, we're going to talk all about wrestling. He's going to show me all about wrestling. No, it wasn't just that. He took me around Washington, and we talked about trains, and I found out about his love of bullfighting, and he'd been to hundreds of bullfights in Mexico, in Spain, in Portugal. Found out he'd written a bunch of books, and over the next 20 years, he would write many more. Found out that he knew movie directors and wrestlers from all over, and Freddie Blassie, and had done some WWF jobs. And he was just the most fascinating individual, and didn't listen to rock and roll music, listened to spaghetti Western soundtracks and bullfight music and flamenco. And here I was introducing him to Buddy Holly and Gene Vincent and the Stray Cats, and it was just, he fascinated me right up until the very end, and he still does.
Now, still loved a lot of different things. We all know he loved professional wrestling. You were around him when he was in that realm. What do you think it was about professional wrestling that attracted Dale to it so well?
Absolutely the art. He viewed it as, like Evan had said earlier, he viewed it as art, as did I, and I think that's a big reason why we clicked so well. We didn't, you know, it wasn't fake. There's nothing fake about getting hurt. It wasn't fake. It was like a dance, and you know, the drama, the passion. It's absolutely a work of art, and I definitely feel that's what attracted Dale to it. And his father took him to the matches when he was a little boy, and, you know, it grew from there. It grew into not just enjoyment, but a respect for the business, respecting the people who worked in the business, detesting some of the people who worked in the business. He very much, as Casey said earlier, had a love-hate relationship, but it always, the scales always tilted to the love, and that's why he continued to do it even when he was sick. He wanted to be a part of it. It was such a big part of his life, and he did not want to stop participating in that, and he shouldn't have stopped. So I'm glad that it does my heart good to know that, of course, I always worried when he went, you know, to the shows, like, okay, you know, call me if there's anything goes wrong or anything. But I also knew it was something he had to do for his soul, for himself. And that was such an important part, such an important thing he needed to do.
One of the biggest compliments I witnessed is when Dale was not up to going to one of the shows, the tag team that he was managing at the time made sure that they worked in the time traveler into their promo to explain he was somewhere in time, sending them instructions because he could see the future. So they incorporated Dale even when he wasn't there, which I think he would have enjoyed immensely.
I love it. That's fantastic. That sounds like that had a touch of Dale, a little bit of Dale's hand in that. It sounds just like something that would have come right out of his head.
I honestly thought so when they were laying it out, for sure. I know from talking with Dale on our trips that he would occasionally wrestle, and he didn't make a big deal out of it, but he would talk about having wrestled guys like Buddy Rose and people like that on WWF television. Were you able to ever see any of the footage of Dale actually in-ring wrestling?
On the WWF jobs, no, I haven't, unfortunately, and it's something I would absolutely love to see. That was fun. It was before my time, just before I became a wrestling fan. Was around the age of 8, and I started by watching Georgia Championship Wrestling. So at the time, I didn't even know the WWF existed. I've tried finding them on YouTube in the past. I wasn't successful. I'm not sure if the WWE Network would carry them or not. But as far as other matches, yes, I actually managed Dale in California and Arizona. And I was able to get up close and personal at ringside there, saw him on tapes that we watched, you know, as training tools. videotapes from the 80s when they were packing them in at various locations around Phoenix and Tucson. And so, yeah, I was able to watch him wrestle, and he would be the first to say he was not a wrestler, but even though he said that about him, he got over like gangbusters. He, whether he was wrestling or managing, he knew what he was doing, and he might have been limited as a wrestler, but he knew his limitations, and he knew how to work around them, how to make them work for him. And he would always be up front with the guys he was actually wrestling and would say, hey, you know, this is what I know how to do, and let's work around it. And everybody always would. And it was always one of, always end up being one of the most talked about matches of the night. So as a manager, absolutely untouchable.
Now, one of the things that floored me was I picked up a copy of Justin Roberts' book, and it was a top 10 book at the time that it first came out. I was reading through this book, and all of a sudden Dale's name came up, and there is no question it was the same Dale Pierce I'd rode many miles with. But I called Dale and I told him that Justin Roberts had written a few pages about him in his book, saying how instrumental he was in helping him get started in his career. And of course, Dale's response was, "Who the hell is that?" He didn't remember helping Justin because he'd helped so many people over the course of his career.
Yes, and boy, can I hear him saying that. That's hilarious. He was, he told me, and I almost had the same reaction. Who's that? And he, when he read what it was, he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. And he was amazed and intrigued that he had been so helpful to Justin, and very touched. And he helped so many people over the years, and I had no idea just how many he had helped till after he passed away. And I'm touched. I can't describe the emotions that I feel just knowing he had such an impact on people's lives in wrestling, outside of wrestling, with his students. It's been heartwarming, and it's really helped me over the past 10 months.
I'm not sure any of us are going to ever truly appreciate just how much Dale did for this business. It was something he didn't go out of his way to really talk about or post about, but he touched an immeasurable amount of people in this business for sure. I guarantee that.
Yes.
Well, we're coming down to the last few minutes, and before I totally break down into tears, Casey, is there any last things you wanted to talk about or get your plugs in there, anything?
No, no plugs. This show is for and about Dale. So, you know, people can use Google and find me if they want to know anything about me in that sense. But no, you know, the only thing really that that I would say in closing for myself personally would be that I'm just extremely thankful that I got to meet Dale, and I'm extremely thankful that I had the hours in the car that I did with him and was able to have conversations with him and get to know him, you know, albeit on a much smaller scale than so many people did, you know, but it was more than never knowing him. So I will be forever thankful for that. And, you know, will forever hold him in very high regard, not just for what he gave to the business, but for, you know, the high regard that he held the business in and how he felt about the business, because it's something that I can relate to and can appreciate on, you know, so many different levels, not just as a worker, but, you know, going back to just being a fan, you know, since I was 8 years old as well. I know what it's like to have a lifelong love for professional wrestling, even though the relationship can be love-hate sometimes, the love always wins. And I know that that was true for Dale. So, you know, I'm just really appreciative that I had the opportunity to know him. And I hope that things like this and, you know, other people coming up in the business or anything else will continue to let his legacy live on.
Denise, anything you'd like to say as we wrap things up for today?
Just one last thing, and I would be remiss if I didn't say this. One of the last things Dale said to me was, I have so many more people to help, and I promised him, even though he couldn't hear me, I promised him that I would continue that work on for him as best as I could. So just a quick public service announcement to all the guys out there, please get yourself tested for prostate cancer, not the probe, and you know what I mean. Get a blood test done. The probe came back negative for Dale. He only found out when he had the blood test done. So please think of Dale and get that done. And thank you all for holding Dale up and keeping his memory alive. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about Dale.
Well, I want to thank you for allowing us to do this. Dale meant a lot to all of us here, and I definitely love Dale and cherished every minute we got to spend with him. So, Dale, this one was for you, and as he would say to us, don't cry because it's over. Smile because you got to do it to start with. Oh, Dale, we miss you, and fans will be back with you Sunday afternoon, and if you get the chance, maybe go grab yourself a copy of one of Dale's books and learn as much as you can about Dale. He left a lot behind as far as legacies go, so get out there and learn all about Dale. I think you'll definitely be better off for doing so, and we'll talk to you Sunday afternoon.